four recommendations that I would have would be to use technology purposefully, to champion inclusive business, to create spaces for psychological safety, and to be intentional about how you do business and who you do business with.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third episode of Brewing Engagement, the podcast dedicated to enhancing workplace culture, communication, and employee engagement. I'm Sathara, your host, and today we have a very special episode with an exciting guest lineup. In March of 2024, I attended a conference called Intranet Reloaded, co-located with Rethink HR Tech in Long Beach, California. This conference explored digital workplaces and HR tech, highlighting trends and opportunities for leaders in this field. There, I interviewed five industry leaders who shared their insights on enhancing corporate culture, communication, and tech infrastructure given the rise of remote work. Before we jump into that, we want to extend a sincere thank you for lending us an ear. We appreciate your continued support. At Intranet Reloaded, I spoke with five individuals who I'll introduce over the course of the episode. Brewing Engagement is brought to you by People One, modern internet platform that connects people, consolidates knowledge, and circulates the latest news. Ask about how People One keeps your workforce informed, motivated, and autonomous. To start us off, please welcome our first guest, Ruth Neighbors.
My name is Ruth Locke Neighbors, and I am a senior director of strategy at Social Edge Consulting. I've been working with the company for 12 years, but I've been working on modern intranets for the past 20 to 25 years. Social Edge Consulting is an implementation partner of many modern intranets, and that's the reason why we're at this conference here that we're meeting today. And we do everything from pre-sales and helping customers potentially pick a perfect platform for them to actual implementation, including strategy. We also do technical development and all other matters of online community engagement, including after you've implemented, we sometimes augment your teams to help you keep the platform running smoothly.
I asked the guests how their organizations prioritize employee experience and help others do the same as well.
We're a very small company of only about 25 to 30 people, including our consultants. So everything is remote. We've always been a remote company for the past 12 years. And we've, frankly, I think even before the pandemic, we're learning how to communicate and participate and collaborate in such a way when we never actually see each other in person. And it's been very interesting to think about how do you stay engaged and stay connected to your fellow employees when you never see each other. And for me, seeing what other companies are doing in much larger organizations, and we help them with it. Part of our job with rolling out modern collaborative intranets is that there are a lot of great ways to engage employees, but you have to use many different kind of tools. It's not just simply about, oh, let me go post something and hope someone will engage with it. So part of what I do is also help coach people on thinking about how they can collaborate, how they can broaden employee engagement, and frankly, model best practices so that if they do it a certain way, others will see that as well and also adopt those best practices of community and communication.
I asked if Ruth could share some of those best practices, both for intranets and in general.
Sure. There are a couple different ways that I see it. First of all, for any successful online community, and particularly from the perspective of intranets, you need to have really good use cases, reasons for existing online. Perfect examples are communities of practice. You might be working in an organization where you have all these great experts who know a lot of information, but it's in their heads or they're used to sharing it maybe in person or with certain people. One of the things that I absolutely love about these digital workplace experiences is that you can build communities of practice online at the same time that you're also doing in person, and you can model good behaviors. You encourage and make it easy for employees to share best practices, whether it's blogging, sharing an interesting article, liking and commenting. The other thing I would say that besides peer-to-peer collaboration and social participation, you really need to have good executive sponsorship. It is really critical that management executives lead by example, that they participate. And sometimes I coach people by saying, I just want you to do three things. I want you to like something that one of your employees, one of your colleagues wrote. I want you to comment on it. And I want you to share something interesting, something insightful. Doesn't have to be a lot. I think sometimes people feel intimidated. Oh my goodness, I have to be a complete expert. I have to post something absolutely perfect. And I think we've learned over the years that it's okay to be authentic. And to be human, yes. And putting the human in intranets is important. Right. And you can show it in many different ways. The other thing that I will just say is that you absolutely need to have, you need to staff for it. You need to make sure that every successful intranet needs to have paid staff that are regularly helping to facilitate, to keep it going, have a good program strategy, have a good communication strategy, editorial calendar, and you need people that help facilitate and encourage others to participate and engage and post regularly. And it shouldn't just be a part-time job to manage a modern intranet. It should be dedicated.
Let's hear from our next guest, Christophe Garnier.
I'm Christophe Garnier. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Aplex. We are a HR tech slash prop tech company based in New York. And we are creating the operating system for our hybrid work. We've developed a global network of flexible workspaces across 135 countries, and we are developing tools that allow for employers to manage their hybrid workplace and a hybrid workforce.
I asked Christophe for his take on best practices.
I think it's important to listen to what employees actually want to see. I think the future of a company lies in its efficiency and its profitability and its growth and its productivity. And that lies into the right output from the employees. And in order to get the right output for employees, you need to make sure that those employees are happy. And in order for those employees are happy, it's very clear that they require flexibility. We need to figure out the right way to make people happy. What we know is that people that are happy and find joy in their work is because they find they have the right amount of collaboration and connections with their peers, with their collaborators. But yet only less than 5% of companies are enabling employees to actually see each other and connect and communicate in a way that it is satisfying to them. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done there.
Let's introduce our next guest, Andrea Durler.
My name is Andrea Durler. I'm a long-term HR and talent management researcher. I work for Vizier. I'm Vizier's principal of research and value. I've been with Vizier 3 years. And in my role, I learn from people analytics practitioners about their practice.
Let's hear Andrea's take on best practices.
There's a couple of things that managers would need to want to be aware of when it comes to employee engagement, because if you consider engagement doesn't just mean do I like my job and do I like my manager. It's also do I feel that the organization values me? Yeah, I think compensation plays a really big role in that. We tend not to want to talk so much about salaries, but it is part of the employee experience. It is part of the engagement. If I feel I'm underpaid and I'm undervalued, that's going to contribute to my feeling and sentiment about the company. So I think managers want to watch out for that part. Do they have the data? Do they have enough information about how employees feel about things like their own promotions, how often that happens, how often they get actually a pay raise, how often they feel that their goals are being checked in on, how the performance is doing. Yeah, I think that beyond compensation, if we really hone in on that relationship between the employee and the manager as one of the key components of engagement, there is a lot of things that managers should be thinking of. Primarily, it's about communication. It's better to over-communicate than under-communicate in most cases. Be really sure, listen to the employee and make sure that they understand the objectives and what they're supposed to do for their job. So it's basically your basic check-ins are really critical. The second piece that managers should always be aware of, that recognition really matters. Even if an employee knows that they're doing a good job, they want to hear it. They really benefit from hearing it. It is a nice thing to say thank you for doing it. It's very simple. And other things such as giving constructive feedback. I think we're doing nobody a favor if we don't give them constructive feedback so that they know what they could do better. That's always an underestimated part, I think, of the employee engagement too. People do want to learn. People do want to grow and do things better. They can only do that when somebody gives them constructive feedback. Yeah. Of course, a basic awareness about their wellness, I think, is another really important piece. We are all human beings and we're not always at top of our game. And having some leniency and understanding of a person's situation once in a while, without totally forgetting about performance and goals, of course, but understanding what they need. Sometimes they just need a break for an hour. It's very basic things. Data can only give us an indication if things are where things are. Are they going really well? Are they going not so well? But most importantly, it is this skill of really listening to the employee and understanding what they need at this point. Managers have a really tough job. We recognize that. That's why our most recent research found that they are generally paid better than individual contributors, rightly, because expectations are high. But a really good focus on employee engagement from the side of the manager would be a good benefit for many organizations, because I think that's an underestimated component in the engagement journey. Engagement has so many pieces. Am I engaged with the work that I do on a daily basis? That's one really important component. Can I use my skills? Can I use what I've learned in my university years, for example, for my work that can engage me a lot? Or other cultures, for example, emphasize belonging. It makes me feel engaged if I feel a sense of belonging with my team. That may be really important to me.
Our next guest, Lauren Espin, expanded on this idea of belonging.
My name's Lauren Espin. I'm responsible for developing, leading, and implementing communications programs that advance diversity, equity, and inclusion across Siemens USA. Employee engagement is incredibly important at Siemens, and I think it plays a role in every aspect of our business, right? Employees are our captive audience. They are our number one audience, and the technology that we produce at Siemens is only as good as the people behind it. So I think it's important to continue to invest time and effort into making sure that employee experiences remain top of mind and that our employees continue to be engaged. At the end of the day, our talent is incredibly valuable. A lot has been invested in our people, and by making sure that our employees feel valued, feel heard, feel seen, we give them a reason to want to stay. And what's better for a company than that? What better ROI can you have than having good people that do good work? Belonging goes hand in hand with diversity, equity, and inclusion. But I think at the end of the day, belonging is just an essential human need. Think about what made you feel like you belonged in your personal life as a child, on the playground, or in your community, at family gatherings. You want to feel like you belong, like you can be yourself. It doesn't matter who you are or where you came from. You want to feel like you belong. It's important that we're consistent in our messaging and in our values and in our commitments.
Our last guest, Tricia Burke, tells us about how her organization has embraced digital transformation.
My name is Tricia Burke. I'm the VP of Infrastructure and Operations for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. At Planned Parenthood, I have oversight over all of our computing, cloud, network, and data engineering teams. So Planned Parenthood, I think, historically had very much a legacy technology implementation. Computers in data centers, computers in office computer rooms. And a couple of years ago, we really started to implement like a cloud-first technology. We use Google Workspace. All of our email and documents and everything is stored in Google Workspace. So basically, as part of our digital transformation, we've really been embracing delivering everything that our users do through the browser and really taking advantage of using SaaS applications versus things that we have to install on people's computers and those kinds of things. So that's really been a focus for us. By and large, I think the adoption has been okay. There's some applications where we actually have to do like a migration of our application to the new cloud-based version. But for the most part, I think over the course of the last like 5 years, most pieces of software that might run on your computer or run as a client server application have come out with a cloud version that you can migrate to.
I was curious how this impacted employee engagement and if employees felt more connected using a unified workspace.
I definitely think that they feel connected through GChat and using Google Workspaces and those kinds of things. I think, but by and large, I don't think it's any more than I've seen in other organizations, solely because we're using sort of unified form.
So it seems like engaging employees with digital workplaces takes a concerted, intentional, and dedicated effort, namely with additional tools like internet platforms. Ruth shared her take on how internet culture has evolved over time.
When I started doing formal consulting maybe about 11, 12 years ago, I think at that time, social business collaboration was a little bit more of a new topic. We had a number of organizations, perhaps clients or prospective clients, who were much more concerned about the idea that you could have intranets where employees could essentially talk back and comment and say things and post whatever they wanted, potentially. And how would you manage that? How would you monitor it? Companies that really got it, embraced it, and knew how to make it work for their employees. And then there were other companies who might purchase certain platforms and then go, we don't get it. Okay, can I restrict this? Can I restrict that? Somehow over the last few years, I think the pendulum kind of keeps swinging back and forth, but there's a lot more comfort now than there was years ago, where now I see companies that previously might have been a little bit more traditional or a little more conservative are more comfortable with the notion, at least in certain instances, with employees freely commenting or initiating discussions or sharing expertise or best practices and essentially discussing things in a very open online way. These conversations, don't get me wrong, have happened elsewhere. You just didn't necessarily had them recorded online in some way. They were happening in hallways. They were happening on phone calls. They were happening in person. So I think that's just interesting. And it's exciting to see that there is a lot of evolution towards that. And more companies are recognizing that. And I think part of the whole remote or hybrid workforce has accelerated that, because it is absolutely necessary. It's part of critical communications and critical sharing of information and knowledge sharing. There's a couple other things that I think that I'm excited about now that I'm seeing with a number of different platforms. Some of the trends that we're seeing, particularly in the world of HR, is the notion of there are a lot of repeatable processes, right? Onboarding, career development, perhaps even offboarding where someone is leaving the company. A lot of these things are repetitive and frankly still quite manual. And the exciting thing now, particularly with a number of the intranet platforms that we've seen at this Intranet Reloaded conference, are showing off their integrations with digital onboarding tools within their intranet so that you can very easily, without coding, program a process of someone's come in new and here are the steps, automating certain things that frankly were quite tedious in the past. That's been a really welcome development. Other things that we're seeing, whether they're AI or not, or certain kinds of digital assistants. Again, I think what is more interesting and exciting to me now is not just simply the whole ability to communicate and collaborate, but more automations of certain repeatable tasks and tools and notifications and the integration with other productivity tools, whether it's Workday or Zendesk or Salesforce or a myriad of other things that kind of will help inform employees when there are certain tasks to be done or allow them to go and request certain things.
Andrea had a different perspective on digital workplaces and how employees interact with them.
In general, it's obvious that if my technology, my digital workplace makes my work easier to do, if I have a proper technological infrastructure, a proper computer, a good internet access, the basics, if they are covered, I think that's one of the most important basics that organizations need to do. But then again, I think that digital workplace can also be scary for some. We hear about technologies that are tracking people's mouse movements, etc. I think there's a lot of emphasis of organizations, employers don't want to give employees an impression that they're actually monitoring them. So that is something that needs to be transparently communicated. What's the purpose of this new technology? How is it going to help you do a better job? How is it saving you time? One of the most recent examples of, if that counts, on the digital workplace is the use of generative AI for everyday work. Do we have policies in place for how much employees are allowed to and encouraged to use the tool as part of their everyday job? And I think the lack of clarity is actually causing a lot of uncertainty. So people and friction, and uncertainty, and particularly in ways that employees are not sure, can I use it? Can I not use it? Am I going to get in trouble if I use it? So clarity, creating clarity around that component would be really helpful, because we want to have employees who are trying and experimenting with the new technologies. But if they're not sure if they're going to get into trouble or how to use it properly, that's when problems begin. So I think I would probably count that as a very important component of the digital workplace to create clarity. People don't need so much training, I think, to be honest. They need to try it out and experiment with it. And if, as long as we can encourage that experimentation, that would be part of the digital workplace.
Lauren shared her take on future employee engagement trends.
I think that there's going to be an additional emphasis on frontline workers, right? I think we have a lot of computer-based employees, but we also have a lot of people on the factory floor. So how do we make sure that the people that are sitting in front of a computer all day are getting the same or feeling as valued or getting the same messages, getting that same commitment as the people that are on the line? I think that we're still navigating through that. I heard a lot today about different solutions and different tips and tricks. Happy to bring that back to the team, but I think we'll see some evolution there.
Ruth also shared her perspective on trends shaping digital workplaces.
One of the things that I think I have found a challenge is that in the past, maybe 10, 15 years ago, we were all trying to look for that one perfect platform that could do everything. And over the last number of years, particularly accelerated by the global pandemic, there have been an explosion of tools and ways to communicate. We see this with companies quickly adopting Teams or Slack or chat, Zoom, all these different ways to share information. So instead of having one single platform for all those things, you have a lot of others. And so the trends that we see with the customers and prospects that we work with are, oh my gosh, I need to find a new solution because whatever I have is not working. Information's in too many different places. That was true before, but I think there's been an explosion of a lot more sharing. And as a result, it makes it more challenging to decide. I think what customers need help deciding on is strategy of what do I use when and where? How many different tools can I possibly use? Is there a need for consolidation? Or we see a trend where people have recognized now that a lot of these tools, such as Teams and Slack, are great for sharing in the moment information and project information. But if you need something official, where do you put that? And so I think what's great now is a lot of the platforms that I work with and what we see, they recognize that you can do integration. So I'm excited about how we're seeing more and more integrations. We know that employees are in all these different kind of tools. So rather than trying to force them in one spot, let's see if we can bring some of that information in context to wherever they are working, whatever they are using.
Tricia shared a similar perspective as we discussed application rationalization and how accessible information affects employee autonomy.
We're really taking a look at how we engage with our user community. Like, how are we engaging with them? How are we making it easy for them to get what they need? We use ServiceNow as like a ticketing system, but we are really looking at, okay, we need to actually take this to the next level. And we're trying to incorporate what we're doing there with a redesign of our intranet. We need to really have a one-stop shop for our employees, right? We need to make it easy for them to find things that they need, the information that they need, and easy for them to get. Put in requests for things that they require to get their jobs done. I think that a lot, by and large, most people will go out and get the information if they can find it. And I think that being able to effectively think about the tools that you have from an IT and technology perspective, from the perspective of the user, is something that, that Planned Parenthood has historically done. And so we're really trying to change. We're not just trying to change the experience for our users. We're actually really changing our mindset within the technology organization. So it's like, how does the user experience, what does the user experience look like? And how do we make sure that experience is a good one? So we, like a lot of companies, we have 5 different chat platforms. And we have a lot of people who, they don't want to use Google, they want to use Teams, or they want to use Zoom and those kinds of things. And so one of the things we're also undertaking in the next 12 to 18 months is a little bit of an application rationalization exercise. We need to consolidate, not because I want to torture people and make them use tools they don't like, but because it's expensive for the organization to support, right? Like, it's expensive. And trying to help people understand. And there's security implications as well. So it's, we need to, everything to be on an enterprise agreement. We need to make sure we've got the right controls and governance in place around how people are using these tools. Security is huge for us. And it's not just, so there's the whole PHI, personal health information aspect of it, right? But so I work for the National Office of Planned Parenthood. We actually don't provide health services. We support our affiliates who do provide the health services, but we still have HIPAA compliance requirements and we still handle health information. But the other piece of it is that because we're in this sort of politically charged environment, there are people who would like to see us fail, basically. And so that's another security concern for us. And so we're very concerned about where is our data? How is it being handled? What are the security controls around our data?
Switching gears a bit, I asked Christoph for his opinion on back-to-office requirements.
We're forcing people to go in a place, in a building, without creating the right intentionality. And we need to figure out a way to find this happy medium between getting people to go somewhere is not necessarily the right question to ask ourselves, I would think. It's why are they going and what are they going to accomplish? And is what they're going to accomplish going to fulfill them rather than trying to force them into an office because we're paying rent? If you are asking someone to get to an office just to go to the office and say you have to go 2 days a week without creating any intention in creating any goal related to it, any interaction, any collaboration, it's purposeless.
Speaking of purposeless, Andrea had a similar perspective on employee monitoring as we spoke about the relationship between digital workplaces and Gen AI, privacy, and trust in the workplace.
The privacy element in terms of the tracking technologies is clear. Don't use it. It's as simple as that. There's no reason why employees should be monitored. If that happens, I think that's an indicator for really bad performance management and bad management, because if I can't trust my employees to do the job on a daily basis and see the output or learn about the output that they're producing, then it's actually on me that I don't understand what they should be doing and what the output looks like. So I feel that I need monitoring technologies to keep track of them. I think it is a big trust erosion to have employees monitored in a remote workplace or even in a hybrid environment. Of course, again, this is something that managers need to learn how to deal with. Again, they need guidance from their organizations to know what to do, what not to do. I think there are so many components of trust or lack of trust. I think the question is more about who doesn't trust whom or where's the level of mistrust. The hybrid work environment and also the onset of generative AI is causing uncertainty, and uncertainty sometimes leads to lack of trust. So there's a vicious circle almost around that. Most importantly, from what we know from research, is certain employees are expecting certainty. They really would like to at least know what's what and what the roles are, because most people we can assume are sticking to the roles. Again, I'm certainly on the positive side here to always trust employees to do their best. I think we have to assume that in HR. But so does the leader not trust the employee? Does the employee not trust the manager? That's one question. In terms of data and technology, if the organization can make it clear what the technology is being used for, that develops trust. I think what's not helping with, like what was causing a lot of distrust is a very opaque or intransparent dealing with technologies or even with the workplace roles in general. If I don't know why I'm doing something, or if I'm not knowing why you do something to me, that's exactly why my wildest fantasies take place.
So how do you prevent this idea of wildest fantasies? Let's take it back to Lauren's four recommendations.
Four recommendations that I would have would be to use technology purposefully, to champion inclusive business, to create spaces for psychological safety, and to be intentional about how you do business and who you do business with.
Well, there you have it, folks. In today's world, changing remote work dynamics, tech requirements, security implications, and budget constraints make crafting the perfect digital workplace and enhancing employee engagement a tricky puzzle. We hope the insights shared today provide some clarity on how industry leaders navigate these challenges. Thank you for tuning in to Brewing Engagement. Let's continue to stay connected and keep the conversation going. Subscribe to Brewing Engagement and stay tuned for more insightful discussions each month. Brewing Engagement is brought to you by PeopleOne, a modern internet platform that connects people, consolidates knowledge, and circulates the latest news. Ask about how PeopleOne keeps your workforce informed, motivated, and autonomous.